since the new year started, you know, that it's a good time and a good opportunity for folks in the commercial business to start pushing out advertisements for becoming fit, and so they begin to target you. You start going to places like Walmart and you start seeing displays for all these different protein shakes and different workout equipment, and they really begin to target people around the first of the year about this idea of getting fit. And so I will say that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is the idea of becoming a new you. And it's not uncommon for me to get up on the first month of the year and to speak about things like that. You see, a lot of times during the year, whenever we start to think, somewhere around November, that maybe, you know, I'm becoming a little bit unfit, and we start looking at our body and we focus on our body and we say, well, you know, after Thanksgiving, I'm going to really start to try to lose weight, and then Christmas dinner comes. Well, after Christmas, I'm going to do it. And so people really will look at the new year and they will say, okay, I'm going to take and I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to lose X amount of weight, or I'm going to get back into the weight room. I'm going to start pumping iron. I'm going to start focusing on this idea of getting fit. There's nothing wrong with that. Essentially, there's nothing wrong with getting fit, with going to the track and walking and trying to get yourself back in shape, if you will. Nothing wrong with that. But what essentially happens in our life is we can start to become so focused on our outward appearance and start focused on our body so much and what our physical appearance is, that we lose focus upon what's really important, and we start to give more attention to one part or one aspect, that being the body, that being the things of this world. We begin to look at the things of this world. It's because we got all these advertisements around us that entice us to look at the things of this world. And we watch movies and we see different sport athletes and whatnot. And we look at those things and we think, well, that's what I need to be like. You look back on your glory days and you think, man, back in high school, I remember how muscular I was. I remember how much I could lift in the weight room. You get to think about those things. You get to think about how far you used to could run, or how fast you used to be. And you say, I'm going to get back to that. And we start to lose focus on what's really important. We neglect our soul and start focusing more upon our body. You see, this time of year, it's good to set goals. It's good to say, well, you know, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to get fit, or I'm going to be a healthier person. A lot of people set goals this time of year for those things. And I'm not getting up here this morning and trying to tell you that if that's your goal, you want to lose weight, or you want to get healthy, you want to start being more active, or I'm not saying those are bad things or bad goals to have. That's okay. That's good. But let's not lose focus on what's really important. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Paul did not say that bodily exercise doesn't profit you at all. He didn't say getting out and trying to get a little bit fit won't help you at all, but in the grand scheme of things, whenever you really boil everything down to its basics, godliness is what's profitable. You see, we spend so much time, so much energy, so much of our focus and attention on this idea of getting in shape or being a better person, And we lose track of this godliness goal, because at the end of the day, we may extend our lives. Yeah, that's true. We might extend our lives. They say, you know, you get out and walk and you get your heart strengthened back up, and they say you can extend your life 10 years or so. That's good. But I don't care how fit we are. It doesn't matter how fit we are, because what really matters is one day we're all going to face the Grim Reaper. One day we'll all meet that same end, no matter how fit we are. Well, how do we become spiritually fit? Well, in John chapter 5, verse number 39, Jesus talking here, and he's talking to the scribes here, the Pharisees. They're after him, they're talking about him, and he's talking to them, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You see, these people didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah come. And he's talking to them here in this scripture, and he's telling them about Moses. If you had believed the writings of old, if you had looked to Moses and believed Moses, Moses wrote of me. And if you had known these things, if you had known God, then you would know these. And if you had just searched the scriptures, you would see that. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." If you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. It's very important that we seek the Word of God in our lives. If we're going to maintain this idea of being spiritually fit, the first step to becoming spiritually fit is to know the Word of God, to actively seek that in our lives, to look for it in our lives. It's one of my favorite verses right here is Isaiah 34:16. "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." That's essentially what we need to do. We need to look for the Word of God. We need to get the book. We need to read the book, to not be ignorant of the things that are in the book. Because at the end of time, it didn't matter if my goal, if I hit that goal of, "Well, you know, I want to be able to lift 225 by the end of the summer." Oh, well, that's good. Maybe I get to that goal and I hit that goal of 225, or I'm not. That's not my goal, just for clarifications. But if that was my goal and I did hit that goal, in the grand scheme of things, what did it help me out for my eternity? A lot of people have this idea, this notion that I can go ahead and I can set goals, and we do. New Year is great for new goals and new realms. I'm going to hit this point in my life, and I'm going to get there this year. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do it. Yeah. And we're going to set these goals, and that's great. But what happens once you hit the goal? A lot of people will start off on the idea of, I'm tracking, I'm going to get there. And after a little while of going and not seeing much results from it, they fall off and they quit. Some people who are tough enough to stick out their goals and to make it to the end of their goal, and they get to their goal and then they just stop right there. We talk of this continual theme of being fit, spiritually fit, physically fit. What happens to an athlete that quits working out? You know, I was so strong and fast back whenever I was. You know, I have not had a real good, hard physical workout since high school. And whereas I may still weigh the same as I did in high school, I'm not near as strong as I used to be. I'm not near as fast as I used to be. I get to running from kids nowadays and they catch me. That used to not happen. That's what happens in our spiritual life as well. We get this idea of we're going to set this goal, we're going to read the book, we're going to study, and we begin to study it. And you say, oh, I finally hit the point in my life that I'm there, I'm good. I've studied the book, I've read the book, I know the book now. Well, that's good. What are we doing with the book? You see, a continuation upon the goal, upon our accomplishments. What do? Well, we take time to pray. Part of being healthy spiritually is that of taking time to pray. As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. You talk to people sometime and they say, well, Jason, I don't know what to pray for. What do I pray for? God looks worried. I didn't think about that. Maybe it worries you, though. Maybe you're worried. You don't know what to pray for. Well, here's some ideas as to what we can pray for. Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We can pray for the saints. You don't know what to pray for. Well, pray for the evangelists going about preaching the word of God, that they would be able to reach people, that they'd have successful work. Pray for those saints in persecuted lands that are going about preaching the gospel in the face of persecution. Pray for one another. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's a lot to be said about prayer, and we could really spend the whole lesson on prayer. It's not necessarily built for that today, but the idea of being spiritually fit is that of having an active prayer life, having an active study life. He says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Give thanks to God. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a lot that we can pray about. That's only scratching the surface. There was a lot prayed about this morning. But to always pray and just to give thanks. You can look in Romans chapter 1 as to see people that were not thankful to God. They were vain in their imaginations, neither were they thankful. Just taking time to give thanks to God for the things that He does for us. Ian has a whole lesson built around the idea or the concept of adding to our faith, and he's really done a great job in breaking all these down. But look at what he says to reiterate some of the things that Ian has talked about in his study that he's done on this. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I highlighted that single word there, if. There, because there's a condition upon our spiritual well-being. If these things are in you, if these things abound, what's the opposite? Well, if these things are not in you, then the opposite is true. Then we will be barren and unfruitful in the work of the Lord. But if these things are in us, if these things abound, you see, once we hit our goal, essentially, of I'm going to get to this point in my life, I'm going to read the book, I'm going, whatever our goal might be, we don't stop at our goal. We continue to improve. You see, besides this, add to your faith a continuation. We don't just start with all of those things whenever we become a Christian and say, okay, well, I got all those things, I'm good. We continue in those things. He says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You see, our commandment is to grow. But we start to grow in this world. We start to focus on the things of this world. We forget about our own spiritual well-being, our own spiritual fitness, and we start looking at this world and the how can we better ourselves in this world. And you know, I've known some of the most fit people in this world. My brother was a professional wrestler, man. I mean, he was really fit. A lot of his friends were really fit. And I tried to mimic him to be as fit as he was, but I just never could get to that stature and size that he was and how fit he was. Some of the fittest people I've known in this life has been unfit for the King of Kings. And what a shame it would be to work so hard to become fit for this world and still be unfit for the King of Kings. We focus on the wrong thing. We put all of our time, our effort, our stock into one thing, and we lose focus on what's really important. And that's what Paul was talking about when he says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. They didn't have a picture that was in Spanish, so I kind of made one up there. Makeshift picture. There we go. Well, how do you become spiritually unfit? Well, I want to give you kind of an idea of how people can become spiritually unfit. We talked about it, focusing on the wrong things, focusing on the things of this world, but there's also something else, I believe. And if you can look at the church here at Laodicea, you can see some of the things that they did here. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The church at Laodicea had a problem. They had a problem in being content in their station, what they were at. They had hit that point in their life. They had become that Christian. They were that church there in Laodicea. But they were lukewarm. They thought that they were good. They were complacent. You see, and we can become complacent in our lives as well. Where we hit that point to where I say, you know, I've studied a lot in this book. I've read this book cover to cover, and I'm good there. I've obeyed the Lord in baptism, and I've been buried with Him and raised to walk in newness of life. I'm good. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. You see, that mindset can creep in on us. And that's what happened here to the church at Laodicea. You know, in studying about the churches there, the seven churches of Asia, you look at Laodicea, and Laodicea is the only one that Jesus didn't have anything positive to say about. Nothing positive to say about them. He wished that they were either cold or hot. They were just lukewarm. They thought within themselves that they were good. They were rich. They were increased with goods. They didn't have need of anything. But he said, but you really are, you don't know it, but you're really wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, if they had been adding to their faith virtue into virtue, knowledge into knowledge, if they had continued walking and doing what the Lord wanted them to do, they wouldn't have become spiritually unfit. But you know, just as being physically unfit comes about as a slow process, you know, you go, you work out, and you really work, and you spend a lot of time working, and you finally get to this point to where you're a pretty fit person. You don't just wake up the next day after skipping a workout and you're unfit all of a sudden. No, it's rather a gradual, slow process that creeps in. It's probably a slow, slow process in that of spiritually being unfit. You see, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9 and 10, he says, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's it. Giving diligence to make our calling and election sure. Keeping ourselves ready. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. He said in Hebrews chapter 3 and 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin comes in very sneaky-like. And it creeps in over us. And we become hardened to the notions of sin. And it's through the things that we surround ourselves with. Sin deceives us. So why would we depart from the living God? I brought this guy back for this one. Why depart from the living God? He says, wherefore, let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. You see, we can become just like the Christians there at Laodicea, where we think that we stand, but we're really wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Because we're not adding to our faith. We're not praying as we should. We're not studying the Word like we should. We're not bearing one another's burdens. We're not doing the things that He's asked us to do or told us to do in His Word. As He said in James chapter 1, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now listen, there's that if word again. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That word if there really plays a big role. If these things be in you, if any be a hearer of the word. So it really boils it down to becoming that new creature. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This morning, are you in Christ? If you're in Christ this morning, then you're a new creature. Maybe you are in Christ this morning. Maybe you have, over the years, become steadily increased with the worries and the things of this world, the cares and the deceit of this world, and you've allowed yourself to become further and further from the Word of God. Listen, today is a good day to take care of that. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And he says, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, the process of Christianity is a continual walk. It's not one of, okay, I've been baptized, I'm good, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. It's a continual walk, a continual process. There's never a point in the Christian walk to where you hit a point and you say, this is it, I'm good, I have nothing else to do. We're always going, always abounding. Jesus would say it like this, I believe the last scripture of this morning. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Before we can become spiritually fit for the kingdom of God, we have to be born again. Without that newness of life, then we're unfit for the Lord. If we're in Christ, we're a new creature. And so as you look at your life this morning in consideration of the things that we've studied, look at yourself, examine yourself. Have you become so focused on the cares and worries of the world that you have forgotten your own spiritual fitness? What shape is your soul in? Maybe some of you have taken the time to write down some New Year's resolutions and you said, you know, I want to lose this weight, or I want to be able to lift that, or I want to be the star football player for maybe basketball. Maybe you got these worldly goals, but let me ask you, how many of you have said, I want to get my spirit fit for the Lord? What's your spiritual shape this morning?